Welcome to Bois. My name is Sheena.
I'm Patrick.
Whee!
It's your first intro. How do you like it?
A little weird, a little nerve-wracking, but I'm okay.
So this is the first time you've ever really done any kind of radio.
Yeah.
Even though this isn't radio at all, it's four people will listen to this. But this is a new chapter, a new step in your life, right?
Yes. It's a little strange. Talking into a microphone, I kind of feel on the spot. Hard to, you know, have a normal conversation when there's something in your face.
I guess it's just because I'm so used to it. I've done this for quite some time, but it's weird that it would be any different. Because I did the other show, Hoofcast, and I never thought that you would be interested in doing this at all.
Well,
sitting down and having a conversation with me in front of a microphone. But, like, the conversations that we have are usually very interesting. I mean, that's why we're together, is because we're weird as hell together. So, so I thought letting the world know your personality the way that I know it at home would be interesting. And I think if you could get used to the whole recording process.
Yeah, it's gonna take me a couple tries, but I think we can get it. It is completely different, though.
Why?
It just is. I mean, when we have a conversation, it's kind of on the spot, and there's no preparation involved or anything.
Well, doesn't have to be preparation involved here.
Yeah, but having a microphone shoved in your face and then, hey, think of something good to talk about. That's preparation. It's not like we just sit around with mics in our faces all day long and then it's there ready to capture everything we have to say.
Yeah.
So it is completely different.
Well, on that note, think of something interesting to say so we can go into a conversation.
Go!
Well, I wanted to talk about this. We bought these things like a week ago. I don't know if anybody's seen them, but they're world famous now.
World famous.
Because all the athletes are wearing them now. But it's supposed to have a whole lot of benefits for your everyday, ordinary person walking around. And I was totally like sold that they were a gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just another way of screwing people out of stuff. You know, because like, you see those videos where people go to like Africa and they're supposed to be some miracle cures all, and it turns out to be a dude with like chicken intestines and a little bag of blood that he's breaking, and then he's like pulling out chicken intestines off of your skin, and it's not
chicken
actually
bones.
Doing anything.
It's reading the bones.
No, I'm talking about the thing, you know, like how Andy Kaufman. You don't know.
No,
Andy Kaufman. He was sold on that whole treatment. Because he had cancer and he had heard about this miracle thing where you go and this shaman sits down, he does this little voodoo dance over the top of you, and then he pulls the sickness out of your body.
Oh, and from the chicken?
No, just out of your body. Like he makes it look like he's reaching into your body to pull out the
like Temple of Doom?
Yeah, kind of like Temple of Doom. But it ends up, it's actually just, he has like a little piece of chicken. And I remember watching like a Dateline NBC report on it or something, that because all these people were paying like thousands and thousands of dollars to have this stuff. But it was all psychological.
Rich people are crazy.
It was all psychological. The only reason that you ever got better is because you thought that you were better.
Yeah.
But it was literally just a little piece of chicken inside of his hand, you know, like a chicken heart or a chicken
like
intestine
a
or something. Yeah. And then he would have a little bag of blood that would simulate him actually pulling it out of your body.
Wow.
So these are what I'm talking about is the little power bands the athletes have been wearing. You see, like, if you look up pictures of like Kobe Bryant or like Shaquille O'Neal and you know, Ichiro Suzuki, they have like these little bands around their wrists, and it looks like a little I don't know, like a little rock or something is in the middle of it, and it's on a band. At least that's what I saw. You know, the rich people have the nice ones.
Yeah,
we have this nice piece of plastic, piece of shit one that has...
Mylar. It's Mylar.
It's going to rip in half is what it is. But it has like a little hologram in the middle of it. So like as soon as I saw it, I was just like, oh, fuck. Another gimmick to rip people off. But Sheena was like all for it because she'll fall for anything.
Whatever. So, no, I just believe.
So this dude, the guy who was selling it, he's all about it. He's wearing two of them. He's, you know, stretching in front of us. And like,
but, I don't know if he was all about it because he told me to buy them online if I wanted them cheaper. Yeah. And he was a little white, like jock kid.
Yeah.
I don't know if he should be selling these things, but reason why I bought them from him in the first place was because he didn't lie to me. And he was all, you know, oh, you can get these for $5 online, you know. I mean, that's not a salesman, but, you know, yeah. I work in sales, so I wanted to help him out a little bit.
So he had this little test that he ran both of us through, which was, first of all, you put it on, goes around, you know, like the little... fake-looking little hologram thing goes right on your under part of your wrist and the top part of your wrist. And then you do these little stress tests where you hold out your arms and you put...
1 foot in the air.
1 foot in the air, so you're balancing on 1 foot. And then the guy pushes on the arm, you know, where your foot is up. He pushes on that side of your body. And then if you're supposed to resist him. If you aren't wearing it, you end up toppling over like a retard.
Yep.
And then... you have this little stretch thing where you stretch your arm way back behind you, and then he puts the thing on your wrist, and then all of a sudden you're not falling over at all when you're balancing.
It worked, though.
Yeah.
Totally. 100%.
And then you can stretch like...
Well, the stretch didn't really work. I mean, I moved maybe 2 inches more than I could have before, but that's...
I'm pretty sure
that
was only because you had just stretched just a second ago.
Yeah. Warm it up.
So anyways, Sheena's totally sold. She's like, oh, I'm going to buy one. I'm like, well, if I'm going to run my credit card, I might as well get one too. So it's not just a $20 purchase of a piece of plastic. So I was like, well, I'll get one too. And if it works, it works. That'll be awesome. I would love it to work. If it doesn't, then I'll just give it to her and she can break it in half eventually because it's literally a piece of plastic. It looks like it's going to rip in half in any second. Anyways... we wear it for about 24 hours. I go and take a shower. I get out of the shower. I'm not wearing it. And I'm like, this is bullshit. Do the thing again. So she does the thing. I do the hands out, foot in the air, Karate Kid style. And she pushes down on my left arm.
And you fell over immediately.
I fell over immediately. I put the thing on and it was like I was Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
It was like... pushing back on her, and I hate to admit it, but the thing works.
Well, I was telling you a story a while ago about my friend's dad used to be a doctor, and I was sleeping over at her house, and he's like, hey, you want to see something cool? I'm like, all right.
Come into the bathroom.
And
you ever seen a one-eyed wonder worm? I keep one as a pet.
Anyway,
that's what I'm going to do when kids come over for sleepovers.
You would. he grabs, I think it was like a piece of an apple and a pretzel. And he has me put
dipped
my hand.
Dipped him in Vaseline.
He makes me put my arm forward. And he tells me to do the same thing that the other guy did, you know, resist whatever he's pushing down on. So mm-hmm. he's pushing down my arm, and I'm resisting him. And he's like, okay, now put this in your mouth. And it was a pretzel. And he said, you have such a gross mind. Anyway, put the pretzel underneath my tongue. Uh-huh. And he told me to put my arm out again, and he pushed down on it, and I immediately, like, fell forward.
Because you had the pretzel in your mouth.
Yeah, it's showing that your body can immediately tell what's good for you and what's bad for you by putting things under your tongue. So he put that under, and I was immediately weak. Then he had me put the apple under my tongue, and he did it again, and I was, like, stronger than I was before the first test.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, that's crazy. I didn't know that really worked. And, you know, we did it a couple of times, and every time it was the same. He could grab, you know, anything. As long as it was bad for me, I would always be weak. And then if he grabbed something healthy for me, I was stronger. So I had already known that this stuff kind of works.
Well, do you think it's psychological, or you think it's actually doing something?
Well, no, because he didn't tell me what the outcomes were going to be before he did it. Mm-hmm. He put him in, and we did the tests. He put it in. No, he gave me the pretzel or the apple beforehand.
All right, close your eyes. It's going to be a little salty. It's a pretzel. I swear to God.
He did the test.
And then I fell over and...
And it
worked.
My pants
came off. I don't know. So, well, I mean, maybe we should get into the technology. This, I don't want to sell the fucking thing on this show, but so it's supposed to be
it's a mylar
positive
wristband.
And negative ions, right?
I think so. I thought it was
so. Something. It's like it's correcting your body's
natural flow,
natural magnetic flow
field. I guess, yeah.
So it's like completing a circuit that is off, and your body gets off for some reason. I guess probably because of what you eat and all that kind of stuff. And so this actually, I mean, seriously, I'm totally not into this kind of stuff. I don't believe in anything ever. I'm total skeptic about everything. Ask Sheena. So I've actually noticed I have more energy since I've been wearing it.
And more positive.
I'm a little bit more positive. I'm not nearly as pissed off as I normally am.
As you see on the show, he's always pissed off at something.
I don't consider myself negative on this show, am I?
I don't know, but in real life you are. Always pissed off about something.
You've convinced me. I'm wearing one right now, right at this second. I'm still wearing it. And honestly, I do feel like they're working. But we've sold enough wristbands to our four people who are listening.
And just so you people out there know, he usually doesn't do anything I want him to do. So I was ecstatic when he finally copped up and told me that the bracelet actually works. I was ecstatic and gave him a huge hug. And I was like, yay, you believe in me. Because he never wants to do anything.
Well, I mean, when you see a millionaire wearing something, you're kind of like, well, maybe it does do something. Because why would they wear it if it wasn't doing something? So I'm sure that they, you know, it's kind of like at one point people didn't believe in acupuncture and all that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden celebrities and famous sports athletes and stuff started doing it. So everybody's like, oh, yeah, it is valid. It is something that actually works. So now people are getting acupuncture. And, you know, that's sort of the same thing where it's like, I don't know, it deals with something that may or may not be totally evident
energy.
Until after you've had it done, you know. Like, you probably wouldn't see the big difference until you'd actually done it and, you know, felt the effects
of
it.
Well, I mean, I didn't feel effects of this, really, until the next day.
Yeah.
So it's like the longer you wear it.
I ended up getting, a good night's sleep and felt more energetic. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it was weird. And I totally don't go out for this kind of hokey bullshit.
It made me happy for you that you... You finally believed in something, and you weren't skeptical. Because I think it's hard and sad to be skeptical all the time, putting up a wall.
I just, you know, I'm not skeptical of things that have proof behind them.
Yeah, but you won't even go to find out. As soon as you think it doesn't work, you just it doesn't work.
Well, usually, usually it's from an informed standpoint, you know.
You weren't informed about this.
Well,
and you
I
were
was.
Like, no,
I was.
How?
Because I've seen sports players.
Yeah, but even
hey,
after
if Kobe
that,
Bryant does it, I'm totally I'm doing
no,
it, man.
No, because after because when I told you when we saw the booth, and I was like, let's check it out. You were like, that's bullshit. That doesn't work. So, I don't think you were either. Okay, so if you were well informed. You still were skeptical,
yeah.
And, you know.
Obviously, I was skeptical,
weren't
especially
ready to try
with
it.
How cheap these fucking things look. Go! This is a news story that came out on Thursday. Looks like transplant patient somebody who's getting a transplant, a new kidney. Apparently, they didn't screen the kidney for AIDS.
What?
So now this person has AIDS.
The recipient of the transplant.
They sued, right?
Well, I mean, that came out, what, 3 days ago, 4 days ago, something like that.
That's right. I would be suing them so fast.
A transplant patient contracted AIDS from the kidney of a living donor in the first documented case of its kind in the U.S. since screening for HIV began in the mid-1980s. Turns out the donor had unprotected gay sex in the 11 weeks between the time he tested negative and the time of the surgery, which took place in 2009.
That's a lot of time, though. You'd think they'd run
11 weeks, yeah. All sorts of shit could happen in 11 weeks.
Wow.
So in a report Thursday on the New York City case, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommended that organ donors have repeat HIV tests a week before the surgery.
Yeah.
So this is coming up new, though. Like, now they're like, oh, fuck, we fucked up. So now I have to be within a week.
What is it? Normal people have sex, what, two to three times a week?
Well,
how did they think that it was okay to do it 11 weeks beforehand and then not right before?
I don't know.
That's ridiculous.
It makes me kind of wonder, you know, like those brothels in Nevada.
What?
Because they test for AIDS down there. Yeah. And, you know, and these people have sex all the time. And I'm sure they have to have sex with condoms and all that kind of stuff. I mean, they would have to have protected sex, right? But maybe if they slip them an extra 200 behind the door, you know, after they take them in, maybe they'll do unprotected. So you got to kind of wonder, like, what is the testing time for those?
Isn't it monthly?
I don't know. I mean, or after, think about that. That's every 4 weeks they're getting an AIDS test.
Or maybe after a certain amount of partners, maybe they have it. We might want to do some research
on
this.
Like a derby.
Yeah. I've had my 100th customer. I got to go get a test.
Up to 200. Maybe I should get my AIDS test.
Sorry, I can't have sex with you. That last guy was 100. Sorry.
But I booked like a month ago.
Sorry, I have a test.
But, well, can I... Can you just spit on it, maybe?
Sure.
Be like that goat in that video. Just from a distance, then he jerks off with a spit. Some guys, that would be totally fine.
Yeah. Maybe she could dance for him. Lap dance.
Yeah. Lap dance with spit all over him. I don't know. The most sensitive test needs to be done as close as possible to the time of transplant. Obviously, said Dr. Colin Shepard, who oversees tracking of HIV cases for the New York City Health Department. CDC also said would-be organ donors should be told to avoid behavior that can increase their chances of infection. Hey, don't have unprotected anal sex.
Well, what I'm curious about is, aren't kidney transplants supposed to be from relatives? So is this guy related to her?
No, it's just a match. Just has to be a match. So that, I don't.
So you don't think this is a gay cousin?
It could be, gay Uncle Carl is.
I'd be pissed. I'd sue him.
Yeah, I'd be a little bit angry that I got AIDS.
Yeah.
You know, in this life saving operation, I ended up getting something that, well, I mean, it's supposed to kill you, but as we've seen with like Magic Johnson.
True. As long as you have enough money.
Apparently, if you have enough money, you can survive. Years and years and years.
Just, you know, just how they say, you got to shoot, you know, the billions of dollars directly into the vein.
Yeah. Well, maybe this guy can sue, and then he'll have tons and tons of money, and then he can just
live the Magic Johnson life. Oh, it was transplanted from a gay man to a guy?
Well, I didn't get to that, to who it was actually transported. Okay. Or maybe I did, I don't know.
How did I automatically jump to a woman anyway? Now that I'm thinking about it. I completely thought it was a woman.
You're expecting that it's a gay dude who's... inflicted pain on a woman because it's man on man sex created man on woman violence.
All right, we'll go with that.
Neither the donor nor the recipient knew he or she had HIV until about a year after the transplant, according to the CDC report. The recipient developed AIDS. Great. So that, you know, HIV and AIDS are much different.
Right.
So, you know, it could be Magic Johnson has only had HIV and it's never turned into full-blown AIDS. Well, I don't know. I never actually looked into
Didn't they say you could cure AIDS as long as it was within a certain time? Like when, cops pull over some drug addict, they get stabbed with the needle and then they have like...
They have to like be tested immediately or they have to go through something immediately. Yeah. I remember seeing
something
about that. Even
if they get the AIDS virus or the HIV virus or something, they can cure it within a certain amount of time. I've told this to people and they do not believe me, but I swear that I've seen it because I watch Cops all the time. Uh-huh. As you know, I love the show Cops.
Because you're black.
Because I'm black. but, you know, they always say, you know, as long as you, you know, if you get poked by a needle, you have a certain amount of time, I think it's 24 hours or something, to get to the hospital so that they can.
So what do they do? How do they get it out?
It's a shot of some kind. They don't
Are you
really
sure it's not like a blood transfusion?
Yeah, it's a shot.
They don't. It's just a shot.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it would be like a blood transfusion.
No, I think they just said it was a shot of some sort. Well, I mean, I can sort of understand that because it doesn't have time to reach, you know, like all your blood cells or something. I don't know. You know, if there's a certain amount of, if there's like some type of.
Well, that would make sense, though, that it would be a blood transfusion because then the infected blood, which is, you know, the way that AIDS works is it infects other cells and then it breaks down your immune system. Seems like it just wouldn't have enough time to infect enough cells, so it would come out in the blood that was withdrawn. Because it takes, I mean, like it says in here, it took a year for them to actually contract full-blown AIDS.
Well, it actually takes different times for everybody, but they didn't notice that they had AIDS beforehand? Like they didn't take tests or anything?
The recipient developed AIDS perhaps because he or she was on drugs that suppressed the immune system to prevent organ rejection. So their immune system was
lowered
because they were on these drugs so that the kidney would come in. So like their immune system was already weakened. So now they've got full-blown AIDS instead of just HIV. HIV takes a long time to develop into AIDS.
It just gets worse and worse, doesn't it?
So now they're fucked completely. Both are receiving HIV treatment, both the recipient and the donor. Their conditions were not disclosed in the report. We don't know how frequently this is happening.
Wow.
And we need better surveillance, said Dr. Matthew
McConaughey.
Kuhnert.
Kuhn.
Matthew Kuhnert. All right. A CDC official who co-wrote the report. HIV infections in a donor or recipient may not be discovered until long after a transplant, obviously, because it took a year.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, patients and their donors may not make the connection and report it. So this could be fucking happening all over the place with these
That's ridiculous.
Donor-recipient things. That's pretty messed up.
Yeah. Don't get a kidney.
At least one similar U.S. case has been reported in the media. An Orlando, Florida woman last year filed a lawsuit saying she was infected with HIV through a 2007 kidney transplant from a live donor in Florida. However, CDC officials said they have not been asked to investigate and could not confirm the report. Ah, I got AIDS, but I don't care. Doesn't really matter.
This is completely – well, I mean, it's not really off subject, but it just reminds me of something I've talked about before, is when somebody gets a transplant of a body part from somebody, sometimes they take on personality traits of the other.
They take on the personality trait of AIDS?
No. So they took – so like if it's a girl or a man, do you think the man, if it was a man, do you think he might be interested in the men? Or if it's a woman – do you think she wants it up the butt more?
Maybe.
Maybe they either or a man or a woman likes Bette Midler more, Celine Dion. They just have a crazy need to go to Vegas and see Celine Dion in concert.
I'll pay $400 a ticket. I don't care. Manilow's playing too. Transplant centers have teams that evaluate potential donors and look for physical or psychological red flags. Why would there be a psychological red flag? If you're giving somebody else a kidney, maybe it's your whole thing.
Well, yeah, like I said, if you get a kidney psychotic. From somebody else who's crazy, you could get their need for human blood,
that
human
is,
sacrifice.
That is weird that people take on certain characteristics, like they
different
foods and that kind of shit.
Yeah, she started liking pickles or something, and she hated pickles before. And some guy started liking music that he never liked before. No, they weren't angry. It's just they did a study on it.
I hated pickles.
Or they have a need for certain foods that they never ate before and never liked.
Anyways, carrying on. But some would-be donors may find themselves in a quandary. Always like it when people use the word quandary.
Quandary.
They want to save a loved one's life but are unwilling to reveal that they use drugs, have gay sex, or engage in other behaviors that raise the risk of HIV. That's a quandary.
Mm.
Should I tell Uncle Buck that I love to have gay sex with needles stuck in my arm? And
sex with goats.
What are the other monkeys. Behaviors? Goats, monkeys.
Wasn't gonorrhea from a goat? Or something.
Why do you think gonorrhea is from a goat?
Well, somebody said that having sex, the first time someone had sex with a goat or something.
The first time.
Well, maybe not the first time, but I think that's where they said gonorrhea came from.
Are you sure you're not thinking of AIDS? Because there's a highly speculated
that came from monkeys, but it was a goat. It was specifically a goat.
People said that it came from monkeys in like sexual form of some sort, but I'm more apt to not say that it was from gay sex, but it did happen in Africa. I don't know. Weird shit can happen. But I'm imagining it was blood, related something somehow. Because
ate a monkey brain.
Well, you could eat a monkey, or you could, people do all kinds of weird shit where they cut the monkeys open and put them all over their bodies and shit. And so, anyways, I wanted to bring that up. Interesting, eh? That even in 2011,
it just boggles my mind that they would not even think of doing the test before, like a week before. Mm-hmm. I mean, 11 weeks, that's a long, long time in our time nowadays. 11 weeks is like that.
Well, maybe, there's usually the stereotypical gay man. Have you ever noticed that, like, when somebody they're in the closet, you don't know that they're gay? Because I've known quite a few people who are gay, but they don't, they don't tell anybody.
Mm-hmm.
They're totally like, your average dude. And then as soon as they come out of the closet, it's just like they have to just be like raging over the sex, fucking, this is fabulous. Why is that? Is that just to try and attract more partners? Because if it's that, then I can understand. I get it. Like, you want people to know that you're gay.
Mm-hmm.
So you act that way just to attract other gay people.
Yeah, but couldn't they just wear a name tag so they're not so irritating?
Maybe we should suggest that to the gay population.
Just
wear a name tag
that says you're gay instead
Hello,
of acting
I'm
like
gay.
A fool. Well, I mean, it's not even it's just weird to me that if I'm attracted to a man, why would I go for a man that acts like a girl?
I don't know.
That's it. And then the same thing for lesbians, if I'm a lesbian, why would I go for a girl that acts like a man? It kind of
defeats the whole thing.
Yeah, it doesn't really. I mean, is it the body parts that is the only difference? Like, if you had a man that acted like a man but had a pussy, would you like him better?
I don't know.
Because he looked like a man, but he had a pussy. But is that how it works? Or, and then there's those ones that are butch and butch.
Mm-hmm.
That just creeps me out.
So they're basically like a gay couple, gay male couple, except they're both women.
They act like a woman?
No, they both have like short cropped hair.
Oh,
they're usually
a
little overweight. They look like, I don't know, like your typical
man.
Guy who would hang out in a bookstore,
Yeah.
Who'd be like a librarian, a male librarian. So you got a butch gay female couple who look like two men who would work at a bookstore or a library.
Right. See, that's usually the ones that I see. The ones you see in movies are the lipstick lesbians.
Yeah.
So they're like, the model on model kind of lesbian, which never happens.
Which is all fake. Yeah. I mean, there are those you know, types of girls out there.
But they're usually bisexual, or they're, you know, testing things out.
Yeah. Usually it's, I mean, like, in the porn industry, usually it's one for the thrill and two for the money. Mm-hmm. So, and I've heard that, like, I was telling you the other day that, like, gay men do that too. But they're not actually gay. It's just dudes who want to be in porn, but they can't make any money. So they're like, hey, if you want to make some money, you can make five times as much as you would in a regular porno doing a gay porno. Which, you know, you got to think, you're starving to death. You're living off Top Ramen. You're on the seedy streets of L.A. You don't want to turn to heroin.
No, I'm sure that they do because they have to be gay. You know, like they don't, they're not naturally gay.
Yeah.
So they would be, they would have to turn to drugs, right?
They'd have to turn to drugs?
To be, to do it. To
so that they would be gay.
Yeah. So most of them, let's say if they weren't gay, they wanted to be in porn, but they, they're, weren't attractive enough to fuck women. I don't know. they weren't into drugs before.
No, it's, I think it's more of a, just there isn't a demand for men in porn. Like, you know, I don't know if it's the same now, but when I was a kid, when I was really into my masturbation stage of my life, which was like 13 to like 19.
Wow.
There were like, I mean, I've still, it's like a daily occurrence now still, but but back then it was like a five times a day and you'd watch like an entire movie, you know, and you'd get to know the storyline, you get to know the actors and all that kind of stuff. And it was always like the same five dudes in every porno. It's the same like five dudes, like Peter North, T.T. Boy.
I just can't believe you know the names.
I know the names of the dudes.
It's embarrassing.
The chicks change. The dudes are always the same. Because it's like a different chick every porno. You don't see the same chicks all the time. You see the different dudes like rarely show up. It's like the same like 12 dudes show up all the time.
Well, I think that's because you're not paying attention to the guys, but maybe. You pay attention to the women, so you get bored of the women faster than you would the guys. You don't even pay attention to the guys.
Yeah.
I guess you would probably put yourself in their position. So you, like a poster, you stick your face on that guy's body.
I guess. I don't have a poster of a dude anywhere around me, though.
No, I'm just, you know, how people put their faces on, you know, the body that they want. Yeah. Although I don't know if you would want Ron Jeremy's body.
Mm-mm.
No. Maybe your body on top of his body.
Maybe his penis. This is huge.
Mm. I wouldn't know.
That was the only reason that Ron Jeremy was famous. It wasn't like, oh, he's so hot. It's like, holy shit, look at that.
The pictures I've seen of him, he is the most disgusting
he is
person
hideous.
I have ever seen in my entire life. If I were watching that, it would be more like a horror film to me than a porn. Or maybe a thriller. No, a horror movie.
A thriller?
Movie. A horror movie.
The Ron Jeremy thriller?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
All right. Well, maybe we should wrap up the first show on that note. Ron Jeremy thriller. So we should probably give out some sort of email address if anybody wants to contact us and totally discredit all the shit that we just said as totally false. Because we never did this on Hoofcast, and we were like 15 episodes in, and we were like, whoa, maybe we should let people know where they can get a hold of us.
To tell us what we did wrong.
To be like, hey, maybe you guys shouldn't do so many gay jokes all the time.
I think you have a gay sketch in your show like every day.
Yeah, it's because Nigel and I are secretly lovers.
Oh, God, no. Please. Who would be – okay, if you guys were lovers, who would be the butch and who would be the the lipstick lesbian.
I think Nigel would be the lipstick lesbian.
You would be the butch?
I would probably be the butch. I'm usually more of the dominant one in the relationship, I noticed. Not that, you know, like I'm trying to be. I think it's more to do with I'm older. So there's just like he's – and I used to be when we worked together, I was a supervisor and he was just like a part-time employee. So I think he just kind of sees me that way.
Mm-hmm.
He's a lot bigger than me, so – you would think he would be the butch, but I think it's more of like accidentally I've become the butch.
Personality wise.
Yeah. In the relationship. And
so
you know,
he would take it up the butt then. He would be the butch.
I think if I think if we were in a gay relationship, there would be no butt sex between us.
That's not a gay relationship then.
It would be like a lesbian relationship. It would be just all 69s and hand jobs. You know?
Oh my God.
Oh, it's totally uncomfortable. This is turning into the other show. See, okay, that's not what I wanted. We're sort of so the idea of this show is sort of to do all the stuff that we couldn't do on the other show because we don't really have time. And the other show's kind of like, in a weird way, it's kind of regimented now, where we have like our individual segments of the show, so we kind of have to stay on point and figure out what we're going to talk about. This one is just free flowing conversation. And I'm glad that you decided you would do this, because we have some more, way more interesting conversations than most
people. I'm telling you, it's the wristband. Because I wouldn't normally do this.
This sounds like a complete, like we're doing a commercial for this company.
Well, I mean, people tell me I'm a good salesperson when I like something.
Why don't you throw
it? So, if you know any of the real answers to anything we've talked about tonight,
or if you have any questions, comments, concerns, anything about Bois,
just email us at theharkisreal@gmail.com. Yes, you heard it right. That is theharkisreal@gmail.com.
Spoken like a true salesman, saleswoman, salesperson.
Salesperson.
Is that PC?
Fuck it. I don't care. Sales girl. Woman.
Saleswoman.
Sales bitch.
Sales whore. All right. Do you want to wrap it up since you opened the show?
I'll let you do that since you're the pro.
Oh, I'm hardly a pro. All right. Well, that is the first episode of Bwah! I'm Patrick.
And I'm Sheena.
And?
Whatever you do, don't get a kidney transplant.
From an AIDS patient.
From an AIDS patient.